Acts chapter 20, we're going to start at verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. We're not told exactly what that parting prayer contained. We have a sense of what it might have contained from the things he wished for them. He very much wanted them to know all the counsel of God. The gospel, yes. The good news of salvation through Christ, certainly. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, he warned them about the impending dangers of heresy, those who would infiltrate the church and teach false doctrine. He also encouraged them, and perhaps he prayed about that, that they would labor with their hands, not just for themselves, but in support of the weak and others. So, significant, right, that before he leaves them for the last time, they commend one another to God in prayer. Let us do that. Let's pray together, and then we'll continue our study. Now, it seems to me, if you have your outlines, we had just begun to deal with the Lord's Prayer as a model. That would be Roman numeral 3, letter A, number 2. And we started talking about the categories to be found in the Lord's Prayer. Can somebody just refresh our memories? What was the opening part called? The first, the address of the prayer? Remember how we talked about that that's not a part of the prayer that should be insignificant, that should be quickly passed over and left behind. It's a very important part of the prayer. It sets the tone for the in our minds and our hearts for the whole rest of it. Okay, our Father which art in heaven, then what's the next category of petitions? Praise, good. Hallowed be thy name, right? What's the other, the next group we called? Kingdom petitions, right? So, our Father, hallowed. Thy kingdom come. And that would include, right, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then I think we ended up last time with the a kind of a surprise, right? What was the next category he gives us?
Petitions.
Okay. Petitions. Yeah. For, we could say, earthly necessities. If I misspell anything, just please correct it on your notes. Why that before forgive us our debts? Remember we talked about that just toward the end? Why might that have been? No definitive answers, but possibilities. Okay. If he provides for the daily bread, if he's the one who takes care of the sparrows and who causes the lilies to grow and all that, he leads us, as it were, to greater and greater trust. He's not just the God who takes care of the big things, he's the God who takes care of everything. And I think I reminded you of the ending of the story of Jairus' daughter, right? The one who died and was risen. After that great miracle, at the very end of the chapter, Jesus says to the people standing there, give her something to eat. We'd say something her mom or dad could have easily taken care of. But the Lord Jesus shows by little things like that, that he cares for all of our situations. Nothing's too little to bring to our dear Savior in prayer. Okay, and then I think here's where we start afresh. I guess we can go here. What could we call the next category? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sorry? Okay, good. Confessing our sins, and haven't we seen in so many prayers, Old Testament, New Testament, that the saints of God not only privately but publicly acknowledge their sins and left that acknowledgement on record? You think of Daniel chapter 9, a rather lengthy prayer of a very godly and holy man. And yet it was replete with petition after petition for forgiveness. Why is this important? Why would this be? Now let's try to keep in mind, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then lead us not into temptation. Why this before lead us not into temptation? Is there anything about that order?
You ask the Lord for forgiveness first and then for him to protect you against further sin.
Okay, good. Let's dig even further. That's an excellent thing that we can maybe add a little bit to it. By doing this, what's happening in our mind, in our thinking, that sets us up for that?
We are wanting to repudiate sin.
Okay, so thy will be done is everything that's not sin, right?
Yeah.
When we go against God's will, we are sinning. Here we're asking forgiveness for when we do go against God's will or desire things that are not His will. And then here, right, after we ask for forgiveness, we're asking really for what?
Protection.
Protection, and how does that actually happen? What's the battleground on which protection takes place? What are we really asking for? Like, how would that protection happen?
For God to show us our sins.
Okay.
Keep by the reading of His word. And
keep going.
Not to restrain the devil.
I'm sorry?
Not to restrain the devil.
Okay, for God to restrain His spiritual enemies. But do you see how this gets us thinking, right, in terms of our vulnerability, our weakness, our need for the Lord? And so that actually leads us to the prayer for protection. But when I asked, you know, how does this, what does this look like? What is our part in protection? What does the Lord say we ought to be doing?
Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Okay, so watching and praying. You think of the spiritual armor, right? In order that we may stand, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. So it isn't simply a passive prayer. So when we go from confession, what could we call that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not. We call it what? Protection, we said? Or we could even say prevention. Lord, I have sinned. Keep me from sinning again. Lord, I have not willed thy will. I have transgressed. This actually brings us back here, doesn't it? Right? Keep us from those things which are not this. And again, we're talking about praying, right? Watch and pray. We're talking about the armor of God.
Yeah. In verse Ephesians 6:18, right after the armor of God, praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Okay. This is the part, I think, if I may be so bold, I think we need to really think about more. It's just like with the American healthcare system, right? Whatever you may think of it, it largely is designed to treat sick people. It's not designed to keep people from getting sick very much, except, you know, immunization, stuff like that. It doesn't teach much about healthy diets, doesn't teach much about all that stuff. You know, some attempts are made, but nothing like what most of you folks do every day. We're kind of way ahead of what they teach people to do as a government agency. So we need to do this spiritually, right? We need to anticipate. We need to be armored. We need to be watchful. We need to be praying before this. Okay? So we don't just, we never want to get into the rut of sin, confession, repentance, forgiveness, sin, confession, repentance, forgiveness. There's got to be this part too. Okay? Now, that petition is broken into two parts, isn't it? What are they? Okay. So the first one is asking God for what exactly? No, that's here. We're now here. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. What is the difference between those two things?
Well, I was thinking of the example of David numbering the Israelites.
Okay.
And I think, let's see what this says in 2 Samuel 24:1, the Lord was wroth with David, and he moved him to number the people.
Okay.
So God, in a way, and it's obviously explained later, that in a way led David into temptation, and that. I know
you
what James
did. Sure am.
But then you go to 1 Chronicles 21:1, and it says the same.
Okay. Well, let's we know from Scripture that God never tempts people to sin, right? So what are we actually asking Him for?
Leading us down the wrong road, not allowing us to choose the wrong road.
Okay, you're getting very close. But let me just say something first. The word leading is significant here. We're not saying prevent us from being tempted in the sense of satanic or sin, because God doesn't do that. So think about the word lead us not. What are we actually saying, Michael? Okay, so if you take what Scott, what you're saying, right, it's, and this is very significant, after we've confessed our weakness, our failures, right, we're asking God to steer us clear of the very things that tempt us, right?
If he is sovereign over all circumstances,
now, we've got to be very careful with this prayer. Could someone turn to James 1 and start reading where James writes, "Count it all joy, brethren."
Count it all joy, my brethren.
Somebody got that? Count it all joy starts with?
I see verse 13. I see. Okay, here we go. No.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Yeah, keep reading.
Knowing this, that carry your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and enter.
Entire.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and but not.
Okay, we can pause right there. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So we need to be careful. What, and I'm being particularly fussy here, but what exactly should we be praying then? To be kept from all temptation or what?
To give us the strength to overcome the temptation, to overcome the mountains that come up before us, to give us the strength to hang those mountains.
Okay, I'm going to put what you said here. I think what you said fits right here. That when we're in the storm, right? Keep us standing. Keep us shielded. Help us endure. But what about this? Lead us not into temptation.
Temptation that we are not able to. Christ said to Peter, Satan has desired you to shift you as wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I have prayed for you, and that would be probably to deliver from evil. But Peter was allowed sovereignly by God to fall to that temptation and be put in a situation where God knew that he would fall to that temptation.
Mm-hmm.
We are very weak creatures, and this lead us not to temptation says to God, I'm not standing on my own. I'm not standing on my own power. I know that David fell to temptation. I know that Moses fell to temptation. I know that Peter fell to temptation.
Could we take these two petitions and say simply this, the connection being simply this? Lord, if temptation leads me to blessing, deliver me in the midst of it. But that the first part of the petition implies, if this temptation is going to lead to dishonor, to dishonoring thee and sinning against thee, keep me from it altogether. Because the two are linked by the word but. Okay? So, keep me from temptation, but, and the implication is, if not, deliver me from evil. So, It's really, if you think about it, okay, this is really about God's glory. This whole thing. It isn't about, I don't want to make a fool of myself or mess up my life even further. It is part of that. But really, it's about Him. And it hinges on what's going to happen with that temptation. Because, let's face it, He gives us a promise. We've considered it from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that no temptation is given which He doesn't provide a way of escape. So it's not like there are temptations out there that Christians can't endure. There are none that Christians cannot endure. But that doesn't mean we always do endure. So I think we're putting this in God's hands, aren't we? Either way, Lord, either keep me from it because the outcome, you know the outcome may not be good, or if it must be, deliver me from the evil. All right. Now, some translations have evil one, referring to Satan, right? And actually, the Greek word here, because of the article, could just all by itself be considered the evil one. Yes?
So is this all about the glory of God? If you fall into trouble or if He saves you from it, both ways you're supposed to be able to glorify God?
Right. Right. Because, you know, how else could James say, count it all joy? He sees benefit in enduring temptation. And let's face it, we learn a lot about ourselves, about the grace of God, from temptation. If we just sailed through life without temptations, we'd know very little about ourselves and about God. Yes, Michael?
Yeah, God is also glorified in our chastening.
Yeah. Right. But I think when we're praying, that would fall here. Lord, we've sinned. Deal with us graciously. Let me learn from thy chastening. Right? Yeah. But do you see how these kind of hang together? They're not as separate categories as we might think. It's all about Him. It's all about His honor and glory. It's all about His will and His kingdom. Okay? This is just that we may, day after day, continue, okay, to learn little by little to trust Him, confessing when we aren't doing this, and then protection and prevention. Lord, whatever brings you glory, if it's enduring the temptation or being delivered from the evil altogether, okay? So it all hangs together. It's all about Him. The Lord's Prayer doesn't have a part for Him and a part for me. And actually, next time around, if we're spared, that we do the Ten Commandments in preaching, I want to point that out too. We make too great a distinction between the first and second table. Well, that's about God, and that's about men. It's all about God. And Jesus makes that connection very, very plain, and I need to do a better job of doing that. But so here too. It isn't like, okay, this part of the prayer is God's part, and this part's for me. And for my family and for my stuff. And I just want to leave you, because the time's already up. I want to leave you with this encouragement. That as we pray, even for particular petitions, for people, for employment, for troubles, people in need, let's try to keep this in mind. Let's try to pray those prayers in a God-centered way, in a kingdom-oriented way. Okay, that people who are in trouble might glorify God through that trouble or in that trouble. Lord, if this trial is going to to end up not to thy glory, steer me clear of it. So there's a giving over of this whole area to God. Lord, it's up to you. Whatever brings you the most glory, lead me in that path. So we're not necessarily saying keep all temptation from me. We are saying, Lord, whatever brings you glory, just keep me from the evil. This isn't sin, right? This is. When we go from temptation to sin, that's what we're praying about. Yeah. Yeah. I better just quit. One thing I want you to think about for next time Notice the pronouns in this prayer. Whether they're singular, whether they're plural, and what that has to do with everything. Okay, let's finish in prayer.